A maritime risk management firm with a footprint here in Chattanooga is tracking how the coronavirus is affecting shipping traffic for clients at sea around the world. International Maritime Security Associates is based in Florida, but a few years ago, it opened its data center and software operations in the city. Frank Fenner, the firm's co-founder, stopped by Scenic Roots.
Frank, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ray, it's a pleasure for me to be here with you.
How does a company such as yours track maritime traffic at a time like this?
There's a couple of dilemmas that come into play with maritime traffic. There is systems out there that track ships at sea, but none that bring the information to the bridge of a vessel that we do. So we've developed a platform that's called ARMS, and ARMS brings critical information to a ship at sea. And we look at a couple of different categories. And one right now that's really within the news spectrum is disease and health. And that being with the coronavirus that's out there, we've seen an uptick in how that's affected the whole maritime traffic, port closures, those types of things, or just even delays that could cost overruns that end up into the supply chain. But also people that are interacting with it and getting this virus. There's a ship that's over in Japan right now that's in quarantine, around 3,000 people on the ship, but about 750 had contracted the coronavirus.
And of course, a lot of that shipping traffic either comes from or goes through China.
Yeah, definitely. Since China is the largest supplier of goods around the world, how they've set themselves up over the last 100 plus years goes back a little bit further than that. But with what we're doing now with such a global market, world reach, sometimes these types of things would have never had the impact that it does today. But now there's an uptick in Italy, in France, and other countries that are really seeing an increase in this virus.
Now, IMSA is based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but it has a footprint here in Chattanooga.
Well, so that's the unique part about what we do as a company. We looked at regulatory compliance and safety and security for both ships and ports. That's how we started the company. And then we've seen this need for actionable information for a ship. And we knew doing that in South Florida, it could be done, but the cost of doing it would have been a little bit higher than it would be doing it elsewhere possibly. And the other side is that we needed to have a great big pipeline to get information flow. We didn't necessarily have to be close to water. And so when we started evaluating different cities, we looked at five different factors. And one in two of those was having great fiber and great power. Then outside of major weather, outside of like a 9/11 type incident again, and then just the quality of life, cost of living. And when you put all five of those factors in the bag, you pull out a name, you get Chattanooga, Tennessee. So in 2015, we came up here, we did a little research of the city, and in 2016, we pulled the trigger. We set up a corporation here as a secondary operating company from our parent company in Florida. And now in doing so, we've been a part of the CoLab and what they've done with their gig tech accelerator. We also do work right here with UTC, with the Sim Center, and Dr. Tony Shellam over there have been a huge support. We've actually won a grant that's come through UTC via Oak Ridge Labs with some of the things that we're doing in data collection and how we store that data. They're really a great support in advancing the technology, both Dr. Shellam, Dr. Condit, and others that are part of that team when we're there at the Sim Center.
You recently launched a platform that provides real-time data to ships beyond what they've had before. Explain how that works.
Let me go back a little bit and say, hey, this is how ships used to get their information, or actually still do get their information, but we've seen the discrepancy of how things were done. And both myself, I was in the Navy, and my business partner, Corey, was in the Coast Guard. And Corey actually spent a lot more time on ships than I did. And one of the problems that he always seen when he was out there working in the Coast Guard is this lack of information that would get to them. The only ways of communication was maybe a satellite phone, maybe an email, or maybe the next port that you pull into that you get some sort of direct that is given to you. So right now there's a system that on every vessel that's over 200 metric tons, and that system's called the GMDSS. What happens, though, is every ship gets this information that happens everywhere around the world. And if you're in the Atlantic, you're not really worried about what's happening in the Pacific. And it literally comes in a textual type format, and then you have to go over to your chart and plot it on your chart and see where it's at. Well, what our system does and what we've done here in Chattanooga, we've set up what we call our I2C, Intel and Information Center. And we have people that are there 24/7 operating, looking at different rests from port and canal delays, civil unrest in and around a port, and obviously health epidemics that could be happening around the world. And then there's some other ones that we look at. And we say our real-time window is every 10 minutes because the fact that ships aren't traveling at an exponential speed that's somewhere between 8 and 12 knots that they're navigating the world. So every 10 minutes, our platform that rests on the bridge of the ship interacts. And what we like to say is it's a Waze traffic app for ships at sea at a greater granular level, or on steroids, as sometimes we say.
And how does this situation compare to other situations that this platform has monitored?
We're constantly monitoring things. So we've even seen things with migrancy. And one of the things we don't do, we don't command or control any ship. What we're trying to do is provide the best information available to the decision makers so they can decide, hey, do we need to go to a different port? Do we need to look at how we interact with shoreside personnel? And those are the things. They set their protocols. We give some guidance in that if they request it, but we'd never try to sit there and say, this is what you need to do or what you don't need to do. But we want to give them critical information to make the best decision possible.
What's something that people might not know about shipping and the work that companies such as yours do?
One of the biggest things that people don't realize, 90% of what we use daily has a lifetime on the ocean at some point. And that's the biggest thing that people don't realize, that of the really the world is connected by ships. Even though things get flown by air freight and everything like that, the cost of doing that is 10-20x versus floating something across on the water. And the other thing is there's been a new expansion of the Panama Canal within the last 5 years, and now we're able to get Panamax ships in. Now the problem for that on our side now is we went from container ships that were 7,000 to 12,000, and now some of these can go up to upwards of 20,000. The infrastructure that exists at the ports doesn't have the resources to move these containers in and out at an efficient level yet. We're getting there, but we're a little bit behind on that side. And we believe that what our platform does will help in that whole just-in-time shipping. And the other side that we didn't realize being here in Chattanooga was the logistical community. We were naive or just uneducated in regards to what Chattanooga had as far as the logistical community, and then other companies like FreightWaves moving forward and providing that into their side of the shipping world and tractor trailer as well.
All right, Frank, thanks so much.
Hey, it was a pleasure to be here, Ray. We really appreciate it.